All right, we are going to look today on the topic of deciding your destiny. Deciding your destiny. I like to kind of flow back into this little kind of thought process a little bit every now and then because I feel that many times, you know, if you're like me, at least I think I am, I'm living below my potential, I would imagine. Just guessing, you know, by the way I see my life. And I think sometimes I think we take thinking for granted, you know, our thought life and how all that works and what that does, because I believe our thought life is especially important, and we don't really probably monitor it the way we should, but we're all either victims or victors when it comes to that, because either we're a victim or victor in our thought life. How you see yourself, how you see the world around you, and how we interact, it, you know, it's all up here, right? There is something up there, right? Amen? You know, there's something floating around in there, you know. And how we, you know, interpret that information, what we allow in there, sometimes is hard to stop, right? Because you can't stop a thought, but you can stop a thought from staying there. And that's what I want us to always remember. We don't have to stay thinking about some of those things if we're not supposed to. Now, I know this for a fact, that the devil, he works extremely hard to try to get you and I to think about the wrong things. I mean, that's what he does. If he can get us off target and off base, then we're not going to be effective, you know, in what we're supposed to do. Now, our destiny is our destination, and our thought life is the vehicle by which we travel to get there. So that's how important thoughts are, and how we need to monitor those. The passage I want to look at today is found in Proverbs chapter 23, and it's verse 7. 23 verse 7. And just a brief little scripture. Really, it's the first part of it, but the last part also explains a little bit. It says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is. Then he says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the worship that we have done today. We just wanted to worship you. And now, Lord, we just put the Word of God first place in our heart and in our mind. Lord, I thank you just for stirring us up in the inside, just to want more of you, just to want more of what you want for each of our lives. Lord, I thank you for the destiny that you put in each inside, everyone here today. Lord, I pray that you just give us that hunger to be able to achieve that and to want to glorify you. Lord, I yield to that gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Okay? So what that's talking about there a little bit, just to explain this, this was here talking about a rich man. He was telling him to eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. What it was, he was hosting somebody, and he was putting on kind of a facade. Just saying, hey, eat and drink, be happy. But really in his heart, he wasn't there. He was thinking something different. He was thinking that he was stingy. He was thinking that he didn't really want to share. So that's who he really was. It really wasn't what he said, but it was who he was on the inside. And see, we can hide so many things, we can say the right things, but if we don't really think the right things or believe the right things, it's really not going to work. It's not going to be effective. And I want us to try to turn around our thinking a little bit. The first point I want us to look at today is the idea of stinking thinking. Have you ever been around stinking thinking? Some things stink, don't they? I got a surprise the other day. I was, my wife was gone there, so we was, fending for ourselves. And anyway, I was looking in the back of the refrigerator, and there was a little dish, and it had a nice little seal on it. Well, I opened that thing up, big mistake. It was a big old chunk of roast beef, but it wasn't fresh, if you know what I'm saying. And I got mad at my wife because that's her job to manage a refrigerator. But, you know, then I got over it. I figured, I'll let her have a good time. I won't tell her. But, you know, that was a good chunk of roast beef, you know. And I grew up on roast beef. You know, I kind of bummed out a little bit. But, boy, that thing stunk. And then I made the mistake. I dumped a little of it down the sink. And so that stinking stuff, and it was just there. And see, that's what's in our mind sometimes. You know, that stinking thinking. It's in there, we don't know it, but we're looking at life through the wrong set of eyes. And that's what the world system, you know, tries to do to us. And, you know, I've been preaching on this for 30-some years probably, but I'll tell you what, the world is getting stinkier and stinkier. That system, that train of thought, that way it tries to force us to comply to how it wants us to think and how it wants us to operate in the world. It's really trying to manipulate our minds. And if we step out of line, it tries to shame us back into line, okay? So we need to be aware and to be wise about that, because I really believe this, that, you know, as it's trying to brainwash us, but you and I are each one thought away from either having the best day of our life or the worst day of our life. That's important, our thoughts are. You know, and if you think you're going to have a bad day, and you wake up that way and you just think things are going to go bad and, you know, I'm not going to be happy, things at work are terrible, and you're thinking that way, well, lo and behold, guess what materializes in life? That's what happens. But if you, on the other hand, wake up and you're ready to have a good day and things are going to go good and nothing's going to get you down, guess what? You have a great day. So the power of thought is very important and how we control it. You can, I don't want to say this in a wrong way, but you can talk kids out of being sad, can't you? Or let's say they fall down and get an owie. You know, first thing they fall down, that you can say, oh, you okay? Oh man, I bet that hurts, and they start crying. Or they fall down, hey, you're tough. You're tougher than nails. You know, you can handle that. Good job. And they don't cry, 9 times out of 10. Now, every now and then you might get one that cries, but, you know, I've raised 3 kids, and that works a lot. It helps you get through a lot of stuff like that. So what we live in today, in this stinking thinking, is that there's a corrupt media that sifts through all that's going on in the world. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on our planet, aren't they? All kinds of things everywhere. And they tell us what we should be thinking about, meaning they tell us what they want us to think about. You know, and it just gets frustrating. In the sense that, you know, all they do is they tell us about all these problems that's happening in the world. Hey, I know there's problems, but I know there's a lot of good things out there. There's a lot of good things. There's a lot of good parents. There's a lot of good kids. There's a lot of good people, you know, that are serving in our country. But yet they try to manipulate us and show us just how things should be. Now, you can say, well, I just don't want to get involved in that. But here's how it really works. By choosing not to decide, we've decided. Because by putting your mind in neutral, here's what happens. That the pull of the world and all the forces, something's going to draw us to think a certain way, okay? I mean, you've all had that. Have you ever had a random thought come in your mind? You was not even thinking about that. That wasn't even part of your life anymore. And all of a sudden, some weird thought come in there. Well, that's the world. That's the devil sometimes. It just puts things in our mind. So unless we're actively engaging to pull away from that, we're going to get drug into it. See, to me, the world system and the way they want a Christian to think, to comply, is like a riptide. Now, like I've always said, the grays were not known for their swimming. You know, so if you go out into a riptide, even the best swimmer, what it does, it drags you down and it drags you under. And see, that's what happens if we get in the wrong place, if we get into a dark place in our mind. You know what I'm saying? If we get into that system of thinking, it's going to get us in all kinds of trouble, and it wants to pull us back. Now, the world system tries to think us to think about limiting thoughts. Okay, that's what I want to look at right now. What is a limiting thought? We've all had them. You know, I remember as a kid growing up, you know, we were cattle people. And, you know, Dad, you know, had a silo built. And I believe the silo was 70 feet tall, okay? And that's pretty tall. And I watched those guys building the silo up and up and up and up and up and up, up they went. And at the end, they put a ladder on the outside. Now, the ladder didn't have a cage. Like I've always said, Dad never put the cage on it till I moved away. You know, he wanted to protect the neighbor, but I was expendable, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, there was this little ladder. It went up, and then when you made it to the top, there was a little platform, and you stuck your head up through, and that little platform raised up, and then it came down, and it just covered about that much. I mean, just a little bit, you know, so it's kind of freaky when you got up there. But anyway, I was probably, 12, 13 years old at least. I was older than 12, I think, you know, in case there's anybody watching. My parents were good parents, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, I would go out there, and I would want to climb the outside, okay? Never done that before. And I did it. Why did I do it? Because it was there. Ain't that why you do stuff? But anyway, I climb up, and I could only make it, you know, I went up a little more, and then, but 50 foot. 50 foot is about as far as I could go until I get a little bit limiting thoughts. You know what I'm saying? I had limiting thoughts. I don't know, for some reason I thought that, you know, if I went to 70 feet, it would hurt worse than 50 feet if I fell. I don't know why. I never proved that theory. But I went up there, and then going up there, you know, I would look down, and my, you know, rest of my family or different people would be down there watching. I don't know what they were wanting to see, but anyway. And my mom was probably, get down from there. You know, she was telling me she was kind of limiting my thoughts, you know, in some ways. But, you know, I went up there, and then, you know, I stopped, and I could have settled, you know, and sometimes that's what we do. If we have limiting thoughts in our life, it causes us to settle. See, I was higher than they were. Okay? I could have, you know, so I was higher than they were, so I could settle right here. But see, in my mind, though, I watched this other guy who had put the ladder on. He clung all the way to the top. So I know it was possible. But when I hit 50 foot, I wanted to stop. Well, finally, after several times, it probably took me a couple weeks just to be, I didn't do it every day, but every now and then I just go out there and I want to climb that silo. Well, finally, I made it. I broke through. And it was a great thing. I mean, because I was limiting myself. What's another 20 feet in this big world? But see, was I willing to settle for 50? 50 is 71% of 50. Would you settle for 71% of your paycheck? You know, let's say you made, you know, $1,000 a week. I hope you do, bless God. Would you settle for $710 if you're worth $1,000? Hope not. But see, that's what we do when we have limiting thoughts in our life when it comes to our destiny, meaning the plan that God has for our life. Sometimes we might just be living up to 71% of our destiny. Oh, we're still maybe ahead of other people, but we're leaving something out there. Something out there that God wants us to accomplish. And if we can just turn our thinking around. Now, I know we can't do everything we think about. I mean, I'm not naive. If I thought I could do brain surgery, that don't mean I can do it. Anybody want to try? I mean, I'm game if you're game, baby. No. You know, I know there's certain things, but within the realm of reality, in the calling that God has upon your life, in the destiny, the plan that he has for you to do. You know, I think we need to really stretch our thinking and try to get that turned around. See, what happens is the devil tries to steal our authority by putting us into bondage to something. And that's what he does. And that's just the way he works in life. You know, it's hard to rule like a king and queen if we think like a slave, right? You know, Jesus has called us to rule and reign with him. But if we're always thinking like a slave, like the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, they had that slave mentality where a slave mentality is where you expect somebody else to take care of you and you do your work and they take care of you and things like that. And see, that's everything that the world system is trying to do to us. That's the message that the world wants to send to people. Hey, we'll take care of you. We'll do this. No, my Father God takes care of me. I have a Heavenly Father. And he's the one who's my source and supply of everything that I need. I don't need Uncle Sam. I need Father God, praise God. And, you know, I praise God for the government, but they have their limitations in the things they want to do. Because as long as, you know, we're thinking like the slave, there's, you know, primarily three things that kind of operates in our life. We have fear, lack, and insecurity. All these things the devil tries to put into our mind. He wants us to be afraid, so we're not willing to go that extra 20 foot where, you know, that's where you need to be, you know. And lack, you know, he always tries to think we're never going to have enough. And the idea of insecurity, that you just don't measure up with other people around you, that's a lie. See, the grace of God was given to you and I so that we can fulfill all the potential, everything God's put inside of us. The grace of God is His power. The grace of God is not an excuse. It's an empowerment from heaven that you and I can do everything He's called us to do. He's called us into such a great relationship and the things that He wants the church to accomplish, and we just have to think different. Now, we technically need to think like a ruler and stop thinking like a loser, because that's what church people think like sometimes, that we're never going to have enough. But that's the devil talking right there. Now, Satan's job, how he does this, is to create doubt, okay? Now, if we look back in the Garden of Eden, that's where this all started, right? And so you look back at the first and how things got going and what things were there, and you can understand and decipher some of the other things in life. So what Satan did when he came to Eve, now Eve, you know, was taken from Adam. And so hypothetically, she should have had all the information that she needed. But Satan came to her and he said to her, "Did God say?" Okay. Well, he was challenging her thought life. He was challenging her in the area of what she really believed. And see, that's what Satan tries to do to you and I. And we need to make sure that we have the Word of God settled in our heart, in our mind, of what it is that we believe. So when he got her to be able to walk in fear, and what happens is doubt erases confidence in the Lord. Now, we all have confidence in the Lord every now and then. We just get them glory, hallelujah, just like that last song we were singing. We was all there, right? I mean, we were there. I mean, everybody was just praising. I had to go get my stuff for communion, so I walked back and I looked back, and man, everybody just looked like they was in it to win it. Amen. Glory to God. You know, this is a great song. We're really praising God now. Well, then after song's over, you know, where are we at? Are we still there? You know, we need to be. We need to make sure we stay there. But what happens is that when we come out of those special moments, sometimes you get a fresh little touch from God. Maybe you have a really glory, hallelujah prayer time or worship time, or maybe something, you know, is said here at church, it really picks you up. Well, then you go out them doors, you're in a world, and first thing you get through the door at home, where you been? What you been doing? You know, all this, you know, somebody tries to jerk the rug out from on you. And see, that's just how it works. But see, we got to fight those things off. You know, we need to make sure that we stand on the Word. See, it doesn't matter, you know, what the world says. What matters is what God says. Now, that doubt erases confidence. And whenever Satan can cause us to doubt, that is when we start to go without. Because unbelief causes us to go without. And if we can get to the place in our life where we can control them thoughts, like I said, bad thoughts are going to come. You just don't let them stay there. You just kick them out. Now, I know that we grow in this. You don't start out understanding everything and the things of God. As a matter of fact, we're going to be growing until Jesus comes or till we go to be with Him. But I'd rather be growing forward than going backwards. You know what I'm saying? So that means we need to pay attention. Every now and then we need to maybe write something down. Have you ever forgot something? I had three of the greatest points for this message that came to me when I was laying in bed. And you think I'd drag these lazy bones out to write them down? No, I'll remember it. I claim John 14:26. Holy Ghost brings all things in my remembrance. I'm not sure He did. You know, I should have got up and wrote them down. There's some things I have to do. And so you need to, if God speaks to you, you know, through the message, you need to write them down and go back over them. You know, that's free food. Everybody loves free food, right? Praise God. So here are three things that happened when Adam and Eve started to doubt. Did God say? Number one, they lost God's provision. Okay? Adam and Eve became homeless. They were kicked out of the garden. See, in the garden was everything that they needed. Their home was there. Everything that they needed for food to be able to complete them and to make them happy. It was all provided by God. But when they believed the devil and the lie, they lost it. Second thing that happened, they lost God's protection. See, Adam and Eve, You know, when they doubted God, they became helpless, and they doubted, you know, God in a way, and they started to hide from Him. You can't hide from God. I mean, how would you like to play hide and seek with God? Come on, He knows where you're at all the time. You know, He may let you win a couple, but He could win every time. You know, that's just the way it is. But that's what happened to them. And then lastly, they lost God's presence. To me, that's a big one. Because Adam and Eve became hopeless. No longer would they have that intimate fellowship with God. Remember, the Bible says they used to walk with God and talk with God. And all of a sudden, that was taken away by that one decision. That one bad decision, that one bad limiting thought that they had, that God was holding them back, and they threw it all away. And see, that's how important it is that we make sure that we monitor our thought life. I couldn't remember, or I couldn't imagine, I guess, what that would feel like. See, you and I, whether Mama told you this or not, but you're born a sinner. You know, you're not born a saint. Even your family might have worshipped the ground you walked on. You were a sinner. And when we became born again, we got an upgrade. We came from down here and was able to go up there. So to me, that's awesome. We know what that feels like. But see, Adam and Eve had never felt separation from God. I have felt separation from God. Believe me. And I felt that hopelessness and that helplessness. What that feels like. But see, they didn't know what that felt like until they made that bad decision. And it was all taken away. So the pain, I couldn't imagine what they felt. The burden of sin was put upon them. And the burden of sin has been taken away from us. So all these things, I mean, just how powerful it was. So we need to make sure that we make right decisions. There's grace, but I mean, I got to preach holiness too every now and then. Amen. There's a balance there. Has anybody figured that out yet? Grace, holiness. I'm going to do a message or a series on that, but I haven't got it ciphered out yet, how I want to do it. But, you know, we preach grace, but you got to have holiness, people. You know, we got to walk in holiness to God. Now, the next point I want to see is the idea that daily decisions determine destiny. This is four D's, right? Daily decisions determine destiny. So, what we decide is important. The things that we do, the things that we make, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go here? Should I go there? You know, should I hang out with these people? Should I not hang out with those people? So all these things do make a difference. So, and what happens is that you and I gravitate towards our strongest thoughts, okay? Now, not every thought do we gravitate toward, but whatever's really in there, whatever we're thinking about, you know, that's what we start to head for. Just like if you're starting a new job and you want to be successful, so you start to try to study and you try to learn everything that you need to know. Those are your strongest thoughts, and the odds are you're going to get better at that because that's your strongest thoughts. And it's like that with everything that we do. So our thought life is lived out by our actions. If you want to see what we're thinking about, watch somebody, how they're acting, okay? Because that's what they really are. That's what they're thinking about. Just like that rich man. He was saying, hey, yeah, enjoy it. But in his heart, that's not who he was. He was lying. He was a poser. Because really in his heart, he was thinking, quit eating so much of my food. I don't want to share with you. I really don't even like you. See? But that's who he really was. Only God could see that. See, God can see our heart. Now, if we really thought about what we are thinking about, we would stop thinking that way. You know, and that's a fact. You know, when you get, just think if you get mad at somebody. I mean, really, 9 times out of 10, it's usually a little piddly deal, isn't it? Doesn't amount to nothing. But if you really think about it, you get madder and madder as you go, don't you? You get madder than a hornet, and then you just, that thing just gets out of hand. So that's why we have to be careful that we don't go that way. Now, today, we are a byproduct of yesterday's decisions. I am standing here today because some yesterdays ago, I chose to give my life to Jesus and I prayed some crazy prayer like, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Here I am. I'm here today. because of that thought I had. I could have had another thought, but that's the one I had. And I kept putting other thoughts in there to help that thought. I went and went to Bible school, got a Bible school education. Then I, you know, had to step through some doors that God had set there. Some of my, I'll be honest, I probably broke down. I was ready to go. You know, it's on right now and I'm on. You know, sometimes patience is a key too, but that's a message for another day. Now this is what I want you to see. If today we're a byproduct of yesterday, tomorrow will be a byproduct of today's decisions. So if you're not where you want to be at right now, start thinking differently. Change your thoughts. What is it you need to change in your thinking that'll help you to get to be where you feel you need to be? It's our responsibility. Because you can't put your mind in neutral. As soon as you put something in neutral, you roll back downhill. We're going uphill a lot of this stuff, so we need to make sure that we get our thought life right. So, to me, it's a good thought after a good thought. Now, one thought is good. One good thought is good, okay? But many good thoughts are better. It's like a cord of three strands. When you put them together, they're stronger, right? Now, you know, bad thoughts, we know, are like a stronghold. You know, 2 Corinthians 10, it talks about, you know, what a stronghold is. And see, what a stronghold is when you and I believe the lie. Okay, it's not just one lie, it's several lies. And those lies get intertwined together and they become really strong and they're hard to unravel, okay? But see, when a good thought to me is like a strong tower, amen? We need to have a strong tower. And so you put those good thoughts together and they're equally as hard to unravel. See, the devil has a harder time messing with the Christian who has his head squared away. You know what I'm saying? You know, when we get our heads squared away and we start thinking the right thoughts and believing the right thing, then we can be able to be a fairly strong warrior, I guess, for the Lord. Okay. Now, next passage I want to look at as we're closing here is 1 Peter 1, verse 13. This kind of talks a little more about our responsibility, okay? Now it says, therefore, and when we see therefore, you got to see what it's there for, right? It says, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, here we see about the idea of what it means to prepare our mind for action, okay? How we need to be able to get that worked out in our life and in our mind and what that means, okay? So, change our thinking, change our destiny. See, we can always change our direction. Always change our direction. See, never lose sight that God is the God of turnaround, okay? You know, we all make mistakes. We all say stupid stuff, do stupid stuff, whatever. And sometimes, you know, we can feel like the fact that when we do something wrong or say something wrong, that we identify with that, we think that's who we are. And then we settle there. And we're maybe you failed there a couple times, maybe 10 times. Doesn't matter. But I want us to see that you don't have to stay there. You don't have to believe that lie. See, God's a God of the turnaround. I mean, God, you know, look at what he did for the apostle Paul, for crying out loud. That guy was going out persecuting the church, you know, holding the coats while Stephen was put to death. That is pretty serious stuff. But God turned him around. And so no matter what you've done, or no matter where you've been, if you want to turn around, God can turn it around. Amen. Don't ever run from God. Don't ever think you're not worthy enough to be able to serve the Lord or be in any form of capacity serving in the local church or in the kingdom of God, because that's what God's called you to do. And so our fate has never been sealed due to bad decisions. Now, if our thoughts control us, then we need to learn how to control our thoughts, okay? So what that means in simplicity is the fact that if you have a bad thought come into your mind, something that takes you away from your destiny, something that pulls you back from being where you need to be, it is your responsibility to be able to take control of that thought, meaning you have to put it out. You have to get rid of it. You can't entertain it. You know, that's why that scripture says, gird or prepare your mind for action, okay? That means you've got to be ready for battle, because that's what it is. That's where the battle's at. The battle is in our mind. So our mind is a battlefield, and that's why we need to prepare for the fight. We need to prepare for action. You know, we need to rethink what we're thinking about. How often do you do that? I do it constantly. If I notice I'm heading off direction a little bit, or maybe not thinking about the things, you know, that I need to think about, you know, I need to rethink that. I need to evaluate. And, you know, you need to have self-evaluation from time to time. So we need to be selective about the thoughts we stay there. So how do we fix our thinking? How do we fix our thinking? I'm glad you asked. Number one, identify the lie. Find out what the lie is. What lie have we believed? What has somebody spoken about us that we've accepted as a truth that isn't true? I'm sure there's something. We've all kind of had that happen. And a lot of times it comes from a family or a loved one, doesn't it? Those things that come in. Then you need to remove the lie. And how you remove the lie, you replace it with a truth. Okay? That's what the Bible's for. You know, the Bible's for replacing lies with truth, because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall, what, set you free, right? So we need to get that truth in there. We need to find out what God said about us. You know, I never maybe thought I could ever, you know, be up in front of anybody. I might have been insecure about some certain things in my life. But I'll tell you this, the Word of God uprooted that, and it changed the way that I saw myself. When I looked in the mirror, I saw a different person after I started putting the Word in. You know, and God wants to do that, and He'll continually do it no matter where we're at in our walk with life. There's those things that we come up against every now and then. Things that are just in our way, and we need to move them out of the way. And then we replace it with the truth, and we start thinking on the truth. We start thinking about that truth. What does God say about you? Well, God says you're the head, not the tail. God says you're a lender, not a borrower. So that means you shouldn't have to be broke all the time. Amen? Come on. So we start to believe these things, and then we start to see them. They sometimes don't happen overnight. You know, like I always say, there's sometimes a time frame between the time I say amen and the time I say there it is. But what you do in that time, you just keep thinking those right thoughts. You keep putting the Word in. What's God say about it? What does God say on this situation? Then lastly, we need to focus on His grace, because we want to make sure that we don't get into works righteousness. You all know what that is, right? See, I'll be honest. Works righteousness is really good in the way that you can always tell where you're at in life, because you can always compare yourself to other people. But see, God doesn't want us to do that. God doesn't want us to keep score in the sense of, I've did three good things and only one bad thing, so technically I'm two ahead, praise God. No, that's works righteousness. No, our righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I figured this out. I can either get paid what I'm worth, or I can get paid what God says I'm worth. I've learned that God pays better than I do. Amen? I mean, he's good. He writes them big checks sometimes and puts it right into our account, that righteousness. It's been imparted. It's been imputed to our account. And when we focus on that grace, saying, God, I know that I can't do this. I'm only a 50-foot person, but I know you called me to go 70. So I need that grace for that extra 20 for sure. Amen? So what's God called you to do that you're not there yet? I just want to challenge us today that we focus on His grace, we replace the lie with truth, and we choose to never turn back. Let's pray.